I think for most of us in the room, most of us in the whole country, busyness is the baseline, right? It's very strange to have a moment where we're not busy. And since we're busy all the time, it's pretty normal to be stressed. It's pretty normal to be anxious or irritable, to miss a bunch of important things that we'll care about 20 years from now, right? But we're busy, 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 and it's not easy to break out of it, right? The other day, I had to pick my twins up from school, from elementary school, and get some sort of dinner, which I did pizza, right? I did classic like dad move, right? But like get them dinner and get them to a practice all pretty quickly, like within an hour or so, which for me meant like eyes on the prize the whole time, right? Like we got to like move from thing to thing to thing. Not my best dad moments probably, but on my way to the practice with my twins in the back seat, they point out that it's daylight still, but they point out like, look at the moon, because you can see the moon because it was so bright. And then we get into this big conversation about moon phases and how does the moon work, because they're eight. And so we had this like long conversation about all these interesting things about the moon, right? So it gets you out of that busy, we got to get to practice by 5:30 when you're explaining like, how does the moon function? Where's the sun at? It's actually like over there, like underneath us right now. And that's why the moon looks at this angle like that. Like you get in that conversation, it puts you in a whole different frame of mind about how big your agenda is or how small it is really and how incredible God is. So I've got a couple ideas here. They're pretty simple, but we're gonna be unpacking. One is obviously God's creator. Right at the opening of the Bible, it opens with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And so God is creator. It's this next slide here. And then God is revealed in his creation. One of the ways you get to know somebody is you pay attention to things that they make, right? And all through the Bible, but in the psalm we're going to be looking at today, there's a theme at times of learning about God by meditating on things that God's done, including God's creation. Right? So God's creator, God's revealed in his creation. Now, some of you, when you hear this, you're like, oh man, okay, so we're gonna have like a nature talk about positive, being less busy. Like I've got real problems, right? Like, what are we doing? I'm ready to check out already. Well, Martin Luther, this famous Christian from 500 years ago, he had a sermon out of Matthew 6 about Jesus' teaching on sparrows and little birds. And Martin Luther said this, he said, "But we're as hard as stone, and we pay no attention, even though we hear the great multitude preaching and singing every day, talking about these little birds." So Martin Luther said, like, because our hearts are so hard, we won't listen to what God's made around us, right? So I'm going to ask, we just keep a soft heart for a little bit. Because if we've been busy for a long time, and if we'll admit we've got some problems, like maybe then we can have the humility to say like, hey, maybe this could help. Maybe this would be a way to interrupt my craziness and get me back on track with God, right? So nature, man, we could go all sorts of places, but I'm gonna take us, just before we get to the psalm, I'm gonna just hit a few, like here's some amazing things that God's made and this idea of God created it, but God's revealed in creation too. So first one, I picked these somewhat randomly, but giraffes, I was reading, there's this book called The Hidden Life of Trees, and it was talking about giraffes will go and eat leaves on a tree. And I don't know if you've ever had this thought when you're around in the woods and seeing animals eat plants, like why is there anything left that these animals like to eat, right? Well, in this particular case with these trees, the giraffes with their like crazy long tongues will start eating on this tree, and as soon as they start taking bites out of those leaves, I mean, the tree doesn't have a brain like we think of as a brain, but the tree like reacts to those leaves getting bit and actually releases like a smell, because that's the fastest way it can get the information to the other leaves. And all the leaves that pick up that smell start producing something that the giraffes don't like. And so after about 5 minutes, the giraffes are like, well, this one's shut down. You know, like don't like it anymore, right? And the giraffes are smart enough to know, like, it's not just this part of the tree, it's the whole tree, and even the other trees that are the same species right around it have all picked up the same signal. And so the giraffes will either head upwind, where the smell hasn't gone, or they'll walk about 5 minutes away and start the whole thing over again on a different set of trees. Now, what does that show us, right? Like, God's got this whole system going where he's got plants smart enough, even without a brain, to take care of themselves, right? A little generous, but not too much. Like that plant, like nature, like setting a boundary. A lot of us struggle with boundaries, right? Like, giraffe can eat a little, but not too much, right? And after you have a little bit, you need to go do some cardio, right? And then you can eat more, right? You know, like, there's a lot happening right there that, like, huh, like, God's got a lot figured out. God can handle taking care of all these things and make sure one doesn't abuse the other too much and stuff. There's a lot there, right? We're going to keep moving, right? Okay, so next thing we're going to show, another cool nature thing. This is a bumblebee, probably in a dandelion or something. We see these all around. This last weekend, we have this amazing funeral hospitality team, and they cooked a great meal for a family that was grieving. But after the meal, several of the family were asking, like, what's that green bean recipe, or what's that? There was some other salad thing that they really liked, you know, and it's actually like a cool compliment if you're the person who made something at home and then other people want the recipe who are strangers, right? If you've ever taken a bite out of like a homegrown, like garden fresh tomato in the summertime, I don't know if you've ever wondered, like, what's the recipe to this thing? Well, strangely enough, some of the recipe here in Independence is a bumblebee. So in your little garden, those little yellow flowers on the tomatoes, honeybees don't get involved in that at all. Like, the pollen in the tomato plant, like, a bumblebee is able to give off a frequency that, like, opens it up. It's like honeybees can't pollinate tomato plants, but bumblebees can. Now, to even nerd out a touch longer, and we'll move on. For a little while, scientists couldn't figure out how bumblebees could fly. I know that's probably a question that's never come up in Independence, but there were some people out there who were like, this doesn't make sense. And the reason was, bumblebees are pretty big. They look awkward. If you've ever been bored enough to watch a bumblebee fly around, they look kind of strange. And they have itty-bitty wings. And some scientists out there decided to measure stuff, which is surprising, and realized, like, the math doesn't make sense. Like, for how much a bumblebee weighs and how small these wings are, it can't fly. That's what they would have said. Like, scientifically, it can't fly. But then you walk in your backyard, and it's flying around. Well, they kept digging at it, right? And they realized, like, bumblebees don't just flap. Their wings also rotate. And so it gets, like, extra lift by, like, rotating its wings as it flaps them. Which, for somebody to come up with that sort of a solution, and then, like, one of the outcomes, like, the cherry on top, in this case, is, like, a garden fresh tomato, right? It's, like, a lot of, like, problem solving and creativity and the willingness to work with awkwardness and then, like, delicious. There's, like, a whole lot happening when God solves a problem, right? And it's stuff that, like, the scientists would say, like, well, that's not going to work. Or we don't even understand how that works, right? Okay, we're going to keep going. I'm liking this stuff. I hope you guys are too. We got just a couple more. Real quick, when I ride the Mamba at World of Fun, it goes about 70 miles an hour. I will have tears streaking like horizontal out of my eyes. I'm sure some of you have done stuff without helmets on going a lot faster than 70 miles an hour, but I don't know if you've ever had that experience, right? So this bird, this peregrine falcon, it's estimated it can go 242 miles an hour in its dive. It's the fastest animal when it's diving. It's hunting also. Like, it's actually, like, has a purpose when it's going 242 miles an hour. Like, it's hard to imagine that speed. I don't know what the fastest you've ever gone in a vehicle is. I mean, a plane's a little different. But if you've been on a motorcycle or anything where, like, you're really experiencing the air, then think about 242 miles an hour. It's like hard to comprehend. And especially, like, catching a little bird, like, that's what this falcon's doing. It's trying to catch another super fast bird while it goes that speed and not crash into the ground with its hollow bones, right? So, yeah, God made that. Like, whatever project you're working on to go fast, like, God's thought through, like, how to, like, max out speed. way more probably than any of us have, right? One more, this is maybe the biggest one for us as far as like life on earth. There's a little bit of water, a little flower floating in the water. So water is this like crazy substance, and I don't think we give it the credit probably that it's due. So water has this really weird chemical format where there's a charge, like a polarization on either side of it. So what that creates is something called, there's hydrogen bonds. Anyways, there's a special bond in water molecules that creates like surface tension. That's why like little water spiders can walk on the top and stuff. There's a tension to water. But also what that creates is that water has something called a really high specific heat. So if you've ever tried to make coffee over a campfire, you have a bunch of, whoever's there is all watching as water takes forever to boil, right? Because water takes a lot more energy to heat up than a normal thing or pretty much other stuff that we have to deal with. And you're like, why does that matter? Well, if you've been in a desert, it gets super hot in the day and super cold at night. Like, why isn't the rest of everywhere like that? It's because there's water around. And like the first day of winter coming up in December 20th-ish, it's not the coldest day of the year. It's not even really remotely, right? We say that's the first day of winter because it's going to keep getting colder. Why is that? It's because all the water and lakes and ponds and stuff around us kind of incubate us from getting too cold. And so like, if we had not a lot of water around, things would be crazy temperature-wise, right? But you're like, okay, Jake, you're losing me. We'll pull it right back in real quick. But have you ever been around even pretty grumpy people, and for whatever reason, they're in another room in a bathroom showering, and you hear them singing, and you're like, I've never pictured that person singing before. I didn't realize they could sing, right? Like, something about water is very like joy inspiring, right? Like people actually have a hard time not singing with water. So like God's solving so many things at once with water. But the way that he solves it with this is this compound that's really strong temperature wise, but mostly a liquid, and you know, most of our interactions with a liquid, but it's also like joy producing. It cleans us. It breaks down all sorts of stuff. It's a universal solvent. It's all sorts of stuff. So you can get really deep into nature, right? I'm going to bring us to our psalm. But as we're doing all that stuff, you start to realize, like, there's lots of stuff all around us besides giraffes and water, right? But all these things are like windows into something that God made and who God is. So Psalms 104, we're not going to read the whole psalm. It would be worth your time this week to read it. But we're going to read 10 or 11 verses. I'm only going to put one up on the screen here in a minute, but if you've got a Bible, please turn to Psalms 104. And I'm not reading this the whole thing, but he gets into like talking about like specific animals, like donkeys and things like that, and lions, but also gets into these big statements about who God is and realizing who God is through nature. So we're going to start Psalms 104, verse 24. The psalmist says, "How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan," we'll come back to the Leviathan in a little bit, "which you formed to frolic there." Verse 27, "All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke." Here's how this is inspiring the psalmist. "I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord." I put this verse up here Because this would be worth jotting down if you're going to do this activity I'm going to talk about next. So when we go into nature, we don't have to go there by ourselves. Like, we can invite the Holy Spirit to come and teach us, right? And I think this verse is a great prayer when we're trying to connect with God by spending some time outside. It's to say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to have a lot of thoughts in my head, but I pray you would help the stuff that I'm dwelling on to be pleasing to you. I want to rejoice in you. So what the psalmist has done right here, he spent time meditating on nature, but it's led him to think about how great God is and to rejoice in who God is. And whatever problem you came in today, my guess is you don't need like a magic wand to just solve the problem. Sometimes we say a prayer and God does do a miracle and it just gets solved. If you haven't tried that, like, you should try it. It's very easy to say, like, Jesus, please do a miracle and help. You can say it. And if it's good, God will give it to you. But if you have a problem still and the miracle hasn't just come, my guess is walking through that hard thing with a close connection with God is going to be better than a distant connection. Finding a way, even when life's hard, to say God's good and I can appreciate that he's good. That's going to do you well, right? So the psalm is showing us that, because no matter what's going on in your life, some piece of nature, whether it's an open window from the hospital bed or whether it's you can walk around in your neighborhood, there's some sort of nature that you can access to say, like, God, I want to pay attention to you. Help me, okay? So my challenge for you this week is, if you're able to go for a walk in the woods or wherever you like, nature-wise, go spend some an enjoyable amount of time in the woods. So for some of you, that might be hours. For some of you, you might be like, I don't really like being outside, and it's going to be like 5 minutes or something. It might just be around your block, right? It might just be sitting in a plastic chair outside looking up at the night stars or something, right? But pick something that you actually like, nature-wise, whatever that means. But say a prayer like that verse we just read. Of like, God, I'm going to try to meditate. I'm going to try to focus my whole brain, my whole heart on you. Help this to be pleasing. Help this to lead me to rejoice in you, okay? So why am I challenging you to do that? Well, I've got this next picture of this whale. We don't know what the Leviathan is that gets mentioned in Psalms 104. There's a lot of scholars have a lot of theories, and they don't really know. But the context leads us to think of some sort of frolicking creature in the ocean. So my guess is a whale. Whales don't show up a lot in the Mediterranean, like where they were back then, but it's a guess. Here's what's clear from the passage, though, is like God made a creature, and the description the psalmist gives is like the purpose of this creature is to frolic. Some of us as adults have a hard time doing anything where the purpose is something equivalent to frolic, right? I was at a funeral yesterday. There's this just beautiful moment. This little kid right up here, his grandma had passed away. And they started to play I Can Only Imagine, which is like the song about heaven. And the kid gets up and starts to dance, which, even though we're a Baptist church, like, I didn't stop. I didn't be like, stop dancing, kid, which of course was good, right? So he's dancing, but I heard after the service that his grandma, who had passed away, had said to him, this is a song that you dance to, because it's talking about heaven. Which was like, whoa, when you hear that. But during the service, he's dancing to it. There was one adult who was the son of the woman who passed away, who got up and started to dance with him, right? And you're just like, all of us could change, right? It's not that nothing's serious. I'm sure this psalmist had some hard things in their life. But you also think, like, there's a time and a place to frolic, right? And like God, I mean, you see it with animals. Animals that like are struggling for survival, like, still can play. But a lot of us adults that are struggling with like keeping up with our monthly, you know, subscriptions or whatever, like, you know, we push all that play out. And like when we see some stuff in nature, we're like, wow, like God's provided. Even for stuff to just have no other purpose other than like what a dance or frolicking would have, right? And he got there by meditating on something in nature, right? So what should you do? What do we do with this? Well, I've got one more, or a few more slides for you, but here's my next slide. Has this little bird. Jesus in Matthew 6 uses the birds to teach us about having simplicity and not needing to worry about stuff. And I think it shows like Jesus meditated on these birds that God gave us and taught us about God through. Maybe for you, you could pick, if you like birds, maybe you pick a wren or something like this. If you're like me, like the moon, like maybe you pick the moon. What I want to encourage you though is pick something from nature and say, that's going to be my interrupting thing. When I see that, I'm going to try to pause and have some sort of joy or praise or awe with God. Because we carry around these phones that are like designed with like people with doctorates figuring out like, how can I interrupt Chase as much as possible, right? How can I make Jeff distracted as much as possible, or Chet, or everybody in the room, right? We carry around tons of things that are purposeful interruptions that typically fill us with like stress or at least busyness. So what I'm suggesting here is like, what if you had something in nature that you're like, that's my reminder to just stop what I'm doing and remember how amazing God is and to rejoice in God in some way. So I want you to close your eyes, think about something you already like in nature, ideally something that shows up in Missouri. Like if you pick the beach, it's not gonna happen to you very much to defend it, right? Pick something that shows up in Missouri of like, this could be my reminder, my interruption to rejoice. Anybody want to shout out what they picked? Squirrel. You're going to see a lot of those, Rick. Yeah, that's good. Anybody else? What, Pam? Your dog. Yeah, no, that's a great one. You'll see the dog often. Anybody else? One more. Sunset. Penguins? Is that what you said, Ethan? Not a lot of penguins, unless we go to the zoo. But, okay, so you pick something. Here's what we want to remember, our next slide here, is when that thing shows up, or even just nature catches your attention, you want to do what Psalms 104 did. You want to praise God for his creation. It's okay to say, like, God, thank you for making the penguin, or whatever you picked, right? But pay attention to the thing for its own sake. Kids are really good at this. Like, if you've seen a kid around animals, sometimes kids, like, will get, like, absorbed with the animal. They genuinely care about that animal. I think sometimes adults have like a, this is the family's pet. And we have like this, like, I will give you so many pets. And then I'm on to my thing, right? It's like a category of dog rather than like, you know, Chip or whatever, right? But kids a lot of times will approach it as like, this is an individual that I want to have a friendship with. Like that's how a kid will approach a pet. Approach the moment, like this is a real moment. I want to like this thing for itself. This was made by someone I love. And then I also want to get to know God through it, right? Like that's the best avenue, right? So we praise God for his creation. We praise him for his character revealed through creation. Last thought, I'm going to wrap up with this. I've got one more picture of the moon. So I've really kind of awestruck by the moon a lot for years. And so something I will kind of do as a test for myself on occasion, like a little check-in, I might ask myself, like, what phase is the moon in right now? And if I have no idea, then that's an indicator to me, like, it's been at least a week and maybe a long time since I've been going slow enough to just let God interrupt for a moment of, like, unexpected, like, quality time. It doesn't mean I haven't been reading my Bible or praying, but it means I've gotten real regimented and busy, and there's not a lot of flex. And for me, it's like a little warning light on your dashboard, right? And like our hearts as humans, like it's deep waters, right? It's worth having a little check-in of like, how am I actually doing? Is there space for me to just rejoice that God's good, and that he's made great things? So today, it's real, real small, right? It's real, real small. You might think like, man, okay, we got like this little tip. But all that stuff we said about nature, like, does it knock your pride down a peg? If, like, if God can do that, like, he can take care of my problem. If God can do that, He can run the show better than I can, right? We've probably all had the experience of something looked easy until we got responsible for it. And then we're like, it's so complicated. To whether it's managing a McDonald's or like whatever you're doing, it's like, oh, this is a lot harder than I realized. When you start paying attention to nature, you're like, there's a lot of problems here that God solved in like really artistic, scientific, mathematic, like amazing ways. It starts to put this humbleness in you. Like, God could run my life a lot better than I could, right? If you're here today and you haven't got what you were coming for yet, maybe that's the last thing that you need. Like, God could run your life a lot better than you can. So don't forget about like letting frolic, letting the dancing moments happen, right? I'm going to pray a blessing over you guys. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, I thank you for the example of the little boy dancing yesterday. And I pray for this week. I pray all of us would take the invitation to get to know you better and to rejoice. Help us to make room for nature, ultimately, so we can make more room for you, Jesus. You are our good shepherd. You're the only one we hope in, Jesus, and we want a better relationship with you. Please bless us with that. Amen.